Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, April 28, 2019. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching the sermon, The Sequel to Easter. The New Testament lessons are from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, and Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11.
That lesson comes out of the book of Acts. This is from the very beginning, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." Here ends the reading of the word. I'd now like to invite Laura Levin to come forward and share a bit about her faith and seeing and knowing God.
When Pastor Wendy asked me to do this, I just thought, oh my gosh, there's so much to say. So I'll try to keep it brief. By God's grace alone, I've been a believer in God my entire life. And I remember praying as a very small child. And yes, it was like, please let me have a pony kind of prayers. But I've culturally been a Christian my whole life. But it wasn't until my 30s, really, when through the influence of Tim Keller, a pastor out of New York City, and reading the works of C.S. Lewis and Oswald Chambers, that I was really motivated to learn more about the faith that I had grown up in. And so I entered into an intense Bible study program for 5 years. And through that, through the study of the whole Word of God, I learned basically three things, mainly God's nature, the nature of God and his intense love for us, and also the nature of human beings, specifically my nature, and my tendency to reject God's influence in my life. And then finally, God's plan for humanity, which is basically to love and enjoy him and to bring heaven to earth. Believers that have the Holy Spirit living in us have the power to make this a heaven on earth if we will just employ it. So one way God works in our life is that our anthem goes with what I'm going to say, the readings go with what I'm going to say, and I didn't know what these things were going to be today. So anyway, so about my mid-30s, my daily prayer always consisted of, please change my heart to be more like Jesus, so I will be more the person you have created me to be. And the second one was, give me eyes to see your work in my life. Give me eyes to notice you in my everyday life. So here's my little story. Around this time in my life, I was a jogger at the time, and there was an abandoned building near my house, and some homeless people lived there. And there was a woman that I had introduced myself to that lives there, a homeless woman. Her name is Pat. And she was profoundly affected, probably by drugs. She had a lot of mental issues. Anyway, it was a freezing, one of those miserable days in the fall, and I went out to jog, and I would pray often on my jogs when I was by myself. And the prayer, I just felt God saying, Laura, I want you to give Pat your cashmere sweater. And I know this sounds so ridiculous, and I'm like, no. I only have one. It was given to me. It was a color I didn't like, so I slept in it. But, you know, and it kept me cozy at night, so I slept in my cashmere sweater, and it was just a ridiculous thing. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, okay, I'll get her a really good sweatshirt, and that's what I'll do next time I see Pat. And so I kind of forgot about it. I didn't see Pat again for months, and forgot all about that feeling I had while I was jogging. And then, about 3 months passed, so we were in the dead of winter now, but it was a beautiful sunny day, but very, very cold. And I went out for my jog, I went past the building, and on the way back, there was Pat outside the building. And I instantly thought, oh, great, Pat's here, and I just washed my sweater, and I bet it's dry by now. You know, and I ran home. I told Pat, stay there, I have something for you. And I ran the rest of the way home. I got the sweater, I put it in her bag, and I brought it back to her, and I gave it to her. And she looked at it and just kind of looked at me. You know, I don't even know if she recognized really what it was, but I just felt, great, oh, that worked out well. That sweater was clean, and she was there, and I gave her the sweater. And it wasn't until, like, days later that I realized, you know, God had completely changed my heart about that. I mean, it was just completely unnoticeable that I had once been reluctant to do that. And so it was, to me, it was just evidence that God had changed my heart, changed my selfishness. And there's so much work to go. But he did change it enough that I was able to do that. So those two prayers continue to be my daily prayer. Give me a heart like Jesus and give me eyes to see your work in my life. Thank you.
Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious God, thank you for your Holy Spirit who listens to our prayers and who changes us. We are never without you, our advocate and our helper. And so this morning we pray that you might help us to receive your good news this day. And then how we might share that with others, with your power and with your help. In Jesus' name, amen. So next week is Cinco de Mayo, but that's not the holiday I want to talk about. It's the day before Cinco de Mayo. Do you know what holiday this is? This is a very important nerd holiday. May the 4th. This is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. I'm a child of the 80s, okay? And when Star Wars came out, we were at the theater. I was Princess Leia 1 year for Halloween, complete with those weird side buns and the white flowy gown. My brother and I could race the sand speeders across the kitchen floor with a little C-3PO in the driver's seat. And right now Star Wars is back again with sequel after sequel after sequel, right? And Avengers is, you know, we got sequels for that too. But my husband and I got to introduce my daughter to the epic space journey as well. We skipped 1 through 3, but we did make sure that we went to go see Star Wars 7. And I was so nostalgic, sitting in the theater, watching the scroll of those yellow words, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Ah, Star Wars, it's an epic story. It's so epic that it gets used to teach a literary framework called the hero's journey. Did any of you study this? Any of you English majors? So Joseph Conrad of the Hero's Journey has sort of sketched out the archetypal journey of a hero. And I'm not going to go into lots of detail about that today, but it usually starts with a call to adventure and stepping across into a threshold and usually meeting a mentor. But at some point in time, in this hero's journey, the mentor disappears. And this happens in Star Wars, right? Remember Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? He's fighting, right? Darth Vader's there, and Obi-Wan Kenobi looks at Luke and says, "Run, Luke," right? And then the lightsaber comes out, and Obi-Wan Kenobi just disappears. And there's no robe. I mean, only his robe is left. If you jump ahead to episode 8, The Last Jedi, right? At the end of the movie, spoiler alert, Luke disappears. And now there's Rey, the new hero, who has to continue on using all she has learned from her mentor to go forth. That's what it means to have a sequel. We don't just get to see Luke Skywalker forever and ever and ever, right? Luke sunsets, Rey rises up. Well, I'm talking about sequels today because you could say that the book of Acts is a sequel. It's the part where the main mentor, Jesus, disappears. Jesus isn't here on earth anymore. Yes, he's resurrected. But for the disciples, they just can't go tug on his sleeve and say, "Hey, teacher, would you explain that to me again?" He's taught them already. And then they watched him after the resurrection get lifted up. This passage and this going up is often called the Ascension, and ordinarily it's celebrated right before Pentecost, but I wanted to look at it today, right after Easter. And so at the beginning of the sequel, Jesus is still with them, but he is about to disappear. He talks with them about what it is that he has taught them and what it is that they have learned. And while he is talking with them, he, like, I don't know, do you imagine? Like, it's like some invisible elevator. Like, does he like, and the disciples were with him. I'm like, is he still talking while he's going up? Like, and they stand there going, huh? And their eyes are squinting, and maybe they're squinting in the sun with their furrowed eyebrows. And while they're still there with their necks craning up into the sky, they hear a voice, and they turn around, and these two men in white robes are standing by them. Do you remember two men in white robes showing up? We talked about them last week on Easter. There were two men in white robes talking to the women at the tomb. They asked the women, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And now these folks in white robes ask a parallel question. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven?" Again, the logical thing is, well, we're looking because that's where he went. And we're disciples, so we're supposed to follow him, but we don't know how to follow, like, we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to follow and do the levitating trick thing. But then they remembered, what was Jesus saying right before he ascended? Look in the scripture. He said this: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." there's the switch in the sequel to Easter. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles means that the apostles, these witnesses who go forward, they're the heroes of the story. The book of Acts functions as a sequel to the Gospels. Yes, there's been the resurrection, and we learn about that, but now it continues on in a different format. Because Jesus isn't, the message of Jesus is the attention, but Jesus, the man, the teacher, isn't the total focus of attention. It's like those relay races where you pass the baton on. But here's the thing about Acts of the Apostles. Unlike a Roman emperor or a successive monarchy, when the king dies, the crown only goes to the one heir. But in Jesus' story, the next hero of the story is not one person, is never one person. It's a community. It's not the you singular, it's the you plural. It's not just you all, it's all y'all. Right? This is what I learned from my Southern friends. Y'all ain't plural. All y'all is the plural. So when the Holy Spirit is going to come, it's going to come to all y'all, and all you all are called to be my witnesses. And that's how the word is going to get out to Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth, and even to this crazy place called California, which hasn't even been acknowledged yet. So in the season of Easter, the sequel to Easter, all of the sermons and the texts will come out of the book of Acts so that we, as our church community here, can witness and learn how the early church came together to continue Jesus' story on, to be the sequel. One commentator looks at the whole book of Acts like this. The Church of Acts is a missionary community, means it's sent out, called together by God's Messiah, and is sent out into the world by the power of God's Spirit to interpret the importance of Jesus' resurrection for people everywhere. We, the church, we, the ones, the all y'all ones, are the ones to carry on Jesus' mission in the world. And so we do. We go on telling the stories of Jesus alive and with us and saving us today, these resurrection stories. We're not called to just stand and crane our necks and look up in the sky going, okay, Jesus, when are you showing up again? The men in dazzling robes say, don't be looking up there. You have a job to do instead. Your job is to share how Jesus is alive, that that message might go forth. Wasn't it good to hear from Laura this morning? Yeah, grateful. It's scary, though. It's a little scary to get up and talk about faith, to talk about the times that God is real. Hard for me to do too, a lot of times. But isn't it good to hear? Being on the receiving end, you go, oh, good to hear that God is talking back to us, to somebody I know, somebody I like. Because we need to hear from one another, not just from scripture in the Bible, not just from the pastor who got our MDiv and who gets up and preaches. We need to hear from one another. Those times that God is real and alive, that it might feed our faith that Jesus isn't dead from 2,000 years ago, but is risen, resurrected, and alive, and around in 2019 in California. So I challenge and encourage you to start speaking. There's a season and a time where it's good to walk the talk and to make your actions go in line with what you say you believe. But the challenge from the book of Acts is the reverse. The challenge of the book of Acts is to talk the walk, is to open our mouths and actually declare and say what we believe, what we've witnessed, what we know in our hearts. Like I said, it's not easy for me to do either. In fact, I was at Stephen Manor this week because I go over and I volunteer and I touch base with the principal, and I'm ready to talk to him about something else. And he says, I need a prayer right now. I go, okay then. What do you need from God? He's like, I need patience. I was like, got it. And so here I am as a person of faith showing up at a secular school with a principal who says, will you pray for me today? That's sharing faith. So I want you to consider doing a few things. One is pray about whether you might share your faith story in worship. Or if you know somebody else in this congregation who has told you something that has really strengthened your faith, encourage them to come do this. Or say, hey, I think so-and-so has a story to tell, and I'll go follow up. Two, I think sometimes it's hard to know exactly what to say, or maybe you think, maybe I don't know what I believe. And so we are going to, during this season post-Easter, to use confessions of our church's faith. That way we are confessing not only as individuals who say that Jesus has made a difference in our life, but we will use these language and these creeds and confessions from our tradition so that we can practice together. We can practice speaking out loud. We can use words that have been meaningful in our church tradition to declare and witness to our risen Lord. I'd encourage you, rather than just recycling this, take your bulletin home. And perhaps there's one or two phrases in this whole bulletin where you go, yeah, I could really stand on that. It may be a part of a song. It may be one line out of this Apostles' Creed that you would indeed know, I believe something that's worth sharing. So that indeed, we as the church, with Jesus Christ as our head, might live as the ones who are the sequel, who carry on Jesus' Easter resurrection story, that it might be as alive and as well now and here as it was 2,000 years ago. I'm going to invite our liturgist then to come forward, that we together might confess our faith.
So please join me in confessing the Apostles' Creed as printed in the bulletin. Please rise if you are comfortable doing so. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpc.org. vallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.